Our reading for today is from Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name,' says the Lord, 'who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There is a great disturbance in the church. Brothers are at odds with brothers. There's dissension and debates. Some belong to one party, some belong to another. So often, it seems centered around how we are saved, how we are justified before God. Is it by our own strength and merit and works? Or are people freely justified for Christ's sake through faith? Is there a difference between how Jews are saved and how Gentiles are saved? Or how we proclaim the gospel to those in the church and how we proclaim the gospel on the mission field? There's a great disturbance in the church. And when it comes to center around how we are saved, what it's really centered around is who saves us. That by his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight. It centers around the one who is not ashamed to call us brother. Our brother, Jesus Christ, came to share in our flesh and blood, to confess us before our Heavenly Father, and to reclaim us to be in his family, the family of God. There's a great disturbance in the church. Was it necessary to maintain and live by the Old Testament ceremonial laws of Moses in order to be saved, in order to become a Christian? Now, St. Paul and St. Barnabas are not lightweights in the church. And yet Paul and Barnabas enter into dissension and debate with those Judaizers, that party of the Pharisees, ordering that it is necessary to circumcise Gentiles and to order them to keep the law of Moses. So in their deep conviction to hold to the confession of faith in Jesus Christ and to be missional in proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth, the church. The apostles, Saint Peter, and all of the apostolic church of believers in Jesus Christ called for a major council, a meeting of brothers of the faith, to gather to discuss the conversion of the Gentiles, which, by the way, brought great joy to all the brothers. But they must settle on what was truly necessary to be saved and what was not necessary. And they must settle on it as brothers who are of one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so the Jerusalem Council convened in 49 AD to discuss a highly theological issue that would have impact on the church for generations, including us, to come. The apostles, who were, imagine, taught by the second person of the Holy Trinity, and the elders, they were gathered together to consider this matter. And there was much debate. As far as I can tell, no one invoked the banking rule or ordered a pro-con order to the mics. But they did speak from the Word of God, from their instruction from Christ, not with emotionalism, although there was probably emotion involved, or power-mongering, but in searching for the truth, which affects the eternal life of hundreds and thousands of people. It is also interesting to see the order of brothers who spoke. Those who spoke with authority, those who were heard, those who were respected in the church. I wonder who they would be today. Back then it was Paul and Barnabas, Saint Peter, and then James. Paul and Barnabas, they gave a report describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles. Peter rises and reminds these men upon whom the foundation of the church is built, that by his own mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. Or how God knew the hearts of these Gentiles and witnessed to them. How the Holy Spirit made no distinction between those at the council and those having cleansed their hearts by faith. Peter questions why there are those who are placing an unnecessary yoke of law upon the neck of these new disciples. And Peter speaks clearly the words he learned from the incarnate Word as he learned from him for 3 years. We believe that we will be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will. And then, without any shouts of point of order or call the question, all the assembly fell silent. And they listened to Barnabas and Paul. And they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after everyone had finished speaking, now the bishop of the church in that city, Saint James in Jerusalem, speaks. Now, let's just take a pause for a minute from this council and give some attention to the pastor and bishop, this prominent church leader in the heart of Christianity, in the city where our Savior died and rose again. This church leader at the epicenter of the gospel, from which the gospel would now go out from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, brothers of the same mother, the Virgin Mary. Can you imagine being the brother of Jesus Christ? The brother of the one who claimed to be the Son of the Most High? The brother of the one who Mary heard with her own ears by the angel Gabriel that God would give this son of hers the throne of the father David, that he would reign over the house of Jacob forever, whose kingdom would have no end. And to be a brother connected to Jesus, as the crowd says, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? We remember Mary and how she was with child before she was born, and or before she knew Joseph. And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And they took offense at him. The brother who causes such scandal. Jesus is teaching and healing and casting out demons and raising the dead and turning water into wine and walking on water. And no doubt James with his mother and brothers came when they came to seize him, for they said, he, this brother of ours, is out of his mind. Yet no doubt James heard Jesus preach. And we believe that the word creates faith. And James witnessed his miracles and his death and his resurrection. Now, when James was finally converted, when he finally believed that his brother was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, we don't know the precise moment. However, we do know that St. Paul tells us that Jesus, immediately after his resurrection, appeared first to James and then the apostles. In Galatians 1, one of Paul's earliest letters, St. Paul says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, Peter, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. James is now a Christian. He is now a pastor. He is now a bishop in the early Christian church in Jerusalem. His brother is his God. His brother is his Savior. And it is this James who now speaks, and with authority and truth concerning the church's question, how then is anyone and everyone saved eternally? James speaks. James gives the answer. Adelphoi, brothers, listen to me. James confirms Peter's words and actions by proclaiming salvation to Cornelius and the Gentiles through Christ alone. And then James draws back onto the Old Testament prophets, not on ceremonial laws of Moses or man or circumcision laws, but on the very prophetic word of God. His brother Jesus Christ would build the tent of David that is fallen. His brother would be Israel reduced to one in order to establish a new Israel, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints as we are, Jew and Gentile and believers from every tribe and nation. His brother would rebuild the ruins of Eden and Israel and create a new Eden and a new Jerusalem, a new Israel, through his own blood and death and resurrection. His brother would restore all things that sin and death has destroyed. And the mission of the church is now to proclaim this good news to all the world. In his pastoral manner, sounding much like his own brother in the Sermon on the Mount, James now proclaims salvation through grace in Christ alone. And he says pastorally, now these brothers, these Gentiles, they will abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. But this same Jesus is your brother too. He became your flesh and blood to redeem your body and soul and life. We are saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. just as are all brothers and sisters in Christ. There will always be disturbances in the church. When man adds to the truth of the word or takes it away, or when he sins for power or causes dissension. But today is the commemoration of St. James, the brother of our Lord. This once unbelieving brother became a humble servant of his Redeemer brother. He was even martyred for the faith in his brother, quite possibly thrown from the temple, stoned to death, beaten with clubs, or all the above. And with James, you and I are united into this Christ Jesus, our blood brother, and with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this entire synod and throughout the entire Holy Christian Church. Brothers and heirs of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we are living in unity and truth and love with one another, holding on to the firm conviction in life and death, just as James did, to our brother Jesus Christ. For through him we are saved through grace of our Lord Jesus. Amen.